241.
When you go out to dinner, it should be magical. There are lots of good restaurants in St. Louis, but tonight, we want great. Picture a place where the patio is lined with trees, and in the breeze, there's the smell of Grecian shrimp, pork chops, hand-cut fillets, and veal coming from an ancient-looking Greek oven, and it's no less inviting inside in a beautiful dining room with a service fit for a king and a queen. You just discovered Spiro's in St. Charles, where the dining experience is unique and unparalleled, where Spiro's believes the best food is meant to be shared, so the portions are designed for a communal dining experience. Sample remastered Mediterranean dishes prepared by master chefs, then share this experience with friends, family, and loved ones. You have found Spiro's in St. Charles, and dining out will never be the same until you come back. Spiro's at 2275 Bluestone Drive in St. Charles, off First Capital.
Nana Mama's Pizza will soon be your go-to choice for pizza in St. Louis. That's because Nana Mama's uses only the freshest ingredients, and it's all local. From the freshest locally grown produce to the perfect dough made fresh in-store every day. Pair that with edge-to-edge toppings, and you really can't beat it. Nana Mama's Pizza is a family-owned restaurant that is family-friendly and opens 7 days a week. Come hang out inside or enjoy the day outside in the outdoor seating area located in Baldwin and Creve Coeur. Check them out online at nanamamas.com.
The USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet.
That's the voice of the former girlfriend of Burt Reynolds. She's 20 years older. Burt, he knew how to get the chicks who had experience. Dinah Shore, and she's singing about, of course, Chevrolet. Now you got a lot of places where you can buy a Chevrolet. I don't know how many dealers there are. Maybe this guy does. Maybe he can tell us about how many dealers there are. But you know what? None of them matter to us except one, because you're AM and the PM, and he's AM and the PM. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest Chevrolet dealer probably in the United States of America, John Landoff. Listen to that crowd. Open that annex up and listen to that crowd. The annex, standing room only. Full.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Thank you. Please sit down.
They're
sit
sitting.
Down.
They're sitting right now.
Oh, my God. How are you, buddy?
I'm great, because one more day of heat and humidity, and then we turn that corner to a fantastic cooler weekend. It's going to be great.
You're unbelievable.
We deserve it. We're ready.
It is hot. It is hot. But that's all, you know, guarantee this, as we're speaking right now, that's in 60 days. Okay, so we're right here in the right in the middle of September, right? So middle of October, middle of November. How about we'll probably be getting, it's a doggone cold out there yesterday.
No,
it was
freezing. We're never happy. Let me ask you a question.
What's the deal?
I don't know. We're spoiled. We got air conditioning, we got heat, and microwaves, we got cell phones. We're spoiled. And any time we're uncomfortable or without what we want, or it's not the way we want it, we gripe and complain. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of these escape rooms? Do you know what that is? There's another name for them.
I heard you talking about it.
Not panic room, but there's another name.
You try to figure out how to get out of a room, and
I'm going to let you know how this goes tonight, and if it's really fun, then maybe my wife and you and Mimi and I and maybe even another couple, because tonight the deal is there's three couples. I know one of the couples. It's a police officer and his wife, and he's bringing another police officer and his wife. I don't know them. And then so the six of us, my understanding is, it's one hour, and you're in a room, and you get clues how to get out of the room. And it's either going to be horrible or fun. I don't know. I just wondered if you'd heard of it, or if you'd... Apparently, it's a franchise, and they're all over the place.
Yeah, they're all over. You can get them in all kinds of themed rooms. Like, you can do, like, the Office TV show thing. You could do, like, you know, a large morning show in the afternoon themed room.
Well, somebody sells you... They sell a package of the clue.
Where are you going to do this?
I don't know if I want to say, but it's in the Baldwin area. Let's just say that. And it's its own... I've not seen it until I get there tonight, but I guess it's its own business. Like, you look up and you go, oh, there's Wendy's, there's the escape room. And then I don't know what to expect. Is it an empty room? Are there six chairs? Or what? What are you looking at? What are the clues? Are they hidden? Or I don't know. But if it's really good, I'll let you know and we'll do it.
Oh, that sounds like fun. Hey, you know what we could do? You could take Mimi and I and your beautiful wife to Annie Guns, and we can really talk about it.
I sure could do that.
All right, good. Let's work on it. Let's get a date going. But beautiful day, unbelievable day. We sold 7 vehicles so far today. We'd like it to be about 17 at the end of the day. So we meet our good friends, the AM and the PM crowd. I'm telling you what, we've got one 2017 Silverado work truck crew cab left in stock. It's a four-wheel drive.
Wait, it's a 17?
17 Chevy Silverado work
wow.
truck.
That's like a rare collector's item, a brand new 2017.
Yes, well, we had quite a few, and this one, I think we're only on 14 acres here, not 1,400. But sometimes I think a vehicle kind of gets kind of maybe hidden somewhere.
Wow.
But, 35,290. Let's make it 35,2. 35,2 MSRP on that is like 42,735, only $35,000. Let's make it $35,000. All right?
Yeah.
And we have an 18 Tahoe Premier, $71,000. Oh, driven by John Londoff Jr.
Whoa, it must be black. I'm guessing it's black.
It is black.
Okay.
It is black.
Now, is that your choice to always drive, like, your personal dealer car is a black Suburban or Tahoe? Is that your choice, or did somebody say you should drive a black vehicle?
No, I mean, I get to kind of drive whatever I want here, buddy.
So why do you choose black?
It was my dad's favorite color. And I swore when I was younger, because I used to have, I bet I washed his black Caprices that he had hundreds of them, thousands of times. God love him, he'd come in after a lunch, and it was raining outside. He'd flip me the keys. Wash my car and park it inside. I'm like, it's raining outside. Wash my car and park it inside. I'm like, yes, sir.
Well, now that you say that, I do remember every time I saw when he was there, it was a black Impala, Caprice, it was always black, you're right. And nothing looks better when it's clean than black.
Just beautiful. So, and I always said, I'm not going to drive black. I'm not going to be like, I just love it. I just absolutely love it. But, I had the RST, which is the 6.2 liter, kind of a high performance. And I took my buddy Kurt Barks, the owner of Complete Auto Body.
Yeah, by the way, thanks a lot, Kurt, because I went to lunch with you that day, and you had said, hey, I got this 6.2 liter, and I was really looking forward to driving it. We went to lunch, and he's got a different car. I said, what happened? And this guy, Kurt, bought it before I could even go to lunch in it.
Went for a drive, went to Hendel's. I got on it a little bit, going down Florissant Road. Sorry, Police Chief Tim Lowry, running for mayor of Florissant in a few months. But, no, so on the way back from lunch, I gassed it up. And he's like, all right. He didn't even look at me. He goes, work me up some numbers on this thing. I think I like it. I'm like, yeah, like it. You love it. It's unbelievable. The RST, but 2018 Chevy Tahoe Premier, driven by John Londoff Jr. Sticker price, $71,265, only $59,900.
Whoa, hold on.
$71,000
down to $59,000. Hold on, that's a savings of, hang on a second, $71,000 down to $59,000, and it's only a demo.
$11,365.
What?
What'd you come up with, Dan?
$11,365.
I came up with
$27,000.
Oh, yeah.
Now we're all over the place.
Yeah.
John, what'd you come up with? $11,000?
$11,000.
How many miles? How many miles are on it?
About 4,600.
That's nothing. That's not even an oil change yet. And it's black, and I've seen it. It is gorgeous.
But wow. For example, if I was the host of the number one radio show in the afternoon in a major market like you, I would still buy a Tahoe. I did.
I'm driving it today, as a matter of fact. I bought a Tahoe.
I will get in a Suburban for duck hunting. So in November, I'll switch over to a Suburban. I'm probably going to get a pre-owned 17 or something to take to Wing Chute Farms, because you know what? I know it's still just here in September, a little over the middle of the month. But duck season is going to come around before you know it, November the 3rd. Woo-hoo!
I'm a big Suburban fan. I almost don't like the fact that I don't have an excuse anymore to not have a Suburban. When we had the kids were little, we took them everywhere. Florida, Colorado, and loaded stuff. And that Suburban would carry all of us and everything we had. And I like a Suburban. I don't need it anymore. It's like I would really like to have a big full-size crew cab pickup truck. I don't need it. The Tahoe is plenty for us. But, boy, that Suburban. People, because I've had a lot of cars, and people go, what's the best car you ever had? Well, you can't compare a Corvette to a Suburban to a, but I tell them this. I say the best value of any car I have ever bought is every Suburban we had was the best money spent on a vehicle just because it's comfortable. It's a great utility vehicle. You can put anything in it. It'll haul anybody, anything. It'll pull something if you want a trailer, something. It's the ultimate do-it-all vehicle is a Suburban. There. I just sold like five of them right then.
Yeah, you're just amazing, buddy. Absolutely amazing. Hey, shout out to my buddy Chris Lenauer from Owensville, Missouri. Pioneer Truss. So he builds trusses for all these major home builders in the St. Louis area. Beautiful facility. But he is an absolute phenomenal hunter. Great guy.
What's his name?
Chris Lenauer.
Hey, Chris, if you're listening, I know where Owensville, Missouri is, and that's where Peaceful Valley Lake is. The world's most worthless piece of property at Peaceful Valley Lake. It is absolutely worthless. And I was talked into it when I was 27 years old. It's just a horrible of ground.
Why don't you sell it?
I tried. Nobody would buy it.
What's wrong with it?
Wrong with it? It's not lakefront. It's barely lake view, and it's right across from the campgrounds where everybody sits up their tents. And stuff. It's right across the dirt road from it. It's a terrible lot, and I still have it as a reminder of how stupid.
Half an acre?
Quarter acre. It's nothing. It's nothing.
Sell it to the campground. Maybe they would use it for parking or something.
Yeah, John, I called Peaceful Valley years ago, and I said, I don't want this lot. I paid $4,700 for it when I was 27 years old. You know what they offered me? $500. Yeah.
Well, maybe call them again.
Well, I might. Hilarious. But, Chris, feel free to use my ownership card anytime. Because Peaceful Valley Lake in Owensville is actually a pretty lake. A nice lake. Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah,
so I had a friend years ago who lived in Owensville. He worked for the old Globe Democrat. His commute to work and back was 2 hours each way every day. And I said, how in the world do you 4 hours a day in the car? He goes, because I love it out here in Owensville. He said, it's worth it just to come home and be out here. And he had to get up at like 4 o'clock to go to work.
I will tell you, it is some of the money. State of Missouri is beautiful. But it is some of the most beautiful ground. I mean, the countryside, you know, the Burgess River and the streams and just the valleys and it's just that. And I'm telling you what, there are a lot of turkey and there are a lot of big bucks, a lot of big deer.
And this year, maybe it's my imagination, more deer than I have ever seen in my life because I live right in the middle of them and turkeys everywhere this year. So I don't know what's going on, but it's going to be good for the hunters, I bet.
It was a late spring, and so the turkey hunting was terrible this year because, you know, a turkey can see a mile away. I mean, I don't know if it's, but their eyesight is unbelievable, okay? And they can run like 25 miles an hour. Hmm. To see one running, see a 18, 19, 20-pound turkey, you're like, how can that big bird run that fast? They can't fly, but they do fly.
Yeah, but they don't fly very far, do they? They, like, jump up in the air and fly, and it's like the Wright Brothers airplane, and back down. They don't...
Into another field, you know, and then when they come out of they roost, they sleep at night in trees. They have these huge talons, okay, and they sleep up in trees. And when they come out of that tree in the morning, and you're out there in the woods, and if you're close, I mean, every hair on your body stands up. It sounds like a helicopter coming out of a big oak tree or something. It's hope I'm not getting weird here, but it's pretty cool.
Now, I bet they're jealous of other birds that can actually really fly, like a hawk or an eagle. I bet they look up and go, man, I wish I could fly like that. They just fly and then fall down. Maybe a football field and they're down. They got to be jealous. They got a bad deal in the flight department.
That Ben Franklin wanted the turkey to be our national bird.
That's true. I did know that.
And I will have to say, whoever said, nah, how about the bald eagle? Whew, thank God.
Good call.
I mean, Turkey are beautiful, but bald eagles, oh, they're unbelievable.
Just got a text from a listener. Goes, what's Londo's phone number?
Yeah, well, I was at D&S Car Wash. So besides having a lifetime warranty on every new car, new truck, and new SUV, and pre-owned vehicles that are 6 years and newer, 6 years and I guess, so that would be a 2012 and up 80,000 miles. So just about every vehicle we sell here has a lifetime warranty, powertrain warranty. And we also have, and we're 4.5 years into this, a D&S Car Wash. D&S Car Wash Company out of High Ridge, Missouri. Every morsel, every piece of the equipment that they build on their car washes are from the U.S. Nothing is from outside the U.S. John Jansky, the president and CEO, I went out there with Bruce Weiner today, and because my buddy Bill, I told him, I'm like, hey, come on, let's get lunch. He goes, how about you come on here and meet the 60, almost 70 employees at our plant in High Ridge. And so Bill Hoagland, thank you very much. We had a great time. Then we went to Iron Mountain. It's about 5-6 minutes away from their wow, that place used to be in the city of St. Louis. Now it's out in High Ridge. So, hey, John Jansky and Bill, and guys, great time with all the great people at D&S Car Wash. So,
what's Iron Mountain? What is that? What is Iron Mountain? What is that?
A restaurant.
Free lunch.
Iron Barley.
Another free
Iron
lunch.
Iron
Barley.
Free lunch.
Iron Barley.
Three free lunches. You said it three times. Hey.
Handles.
Food for a month.
Paul Mono's Monday. Paul Mono.
Food for a month.
314-837-1800. 314-837-1800.
All right. We'll send them your way. Thank you, John.
Thanks, Frank. Bye-bye.
Bye. Man, he loves that turkey and duck stuff, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Maestro. We already have a call for Dr. Doug. See, Vicky here is very smart. She knows how this works. Here's how it works. I'm going to give you these phone numbers. And if you can't get through, you can now because there's a line open. But as soon as a caller drops, boom, you jump right in there. And here are those numbers for Dr. Doug Pernikoff. 314-821-0590. Or 855-282-8255. Let me do those again. 314-821-0590. Or 855-282-8255. Dr. Doug is brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States and the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues. And now from the Clarkson Wilson Veterinary Clinic, your pet's best friend and the official veterinarian of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon, Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hey,
great, doctor. How are you?
I am good. I am AM in the field.
I watched a fantastic video last night. I've caught a lot of snakes. I've got a new video I put up the other day of a beautiful garter snake that I caught for my grandson. But I watched this guy last night on this video, and he caught a black snake, and I've caught black snakes before, but I never knew this. If a black snake is in the grass, this was like 6 feet long. They get pretty big.
Yes.
You just walk up beside it very calmly and slowly, and slowly reach down and just gently grab it about two-thirds of the way back. Just put your hand around its body. It won't whip back and try to bite you.
Okay.
If you're gentle enough, and then you very gradually and slowly just pick it up. In other words, nothing frantic, and it was amazing to watch this guy. He said, in almost every case, rarely will anything happen except it knows you're not being rough or violent, and you can just let it crawl around your arms and hold it, and it won't do anything. And sure enough, it didn't. That was a really interesting video. When I catch him, I pin him behind the head real quickly. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do that, he said. But you need to make sure you know what it is, that it's a black snake, not something else. So. James Garter, we named him, but my son let him go the day before yesterday. So how are you doing, okay?
I am doing fine. And, I've had similar experiences. I think people, especially out west here in St. Louis County, that the black snakes that you end up having around your house are really important animals. They keep the vermin down.
Right.
A lot of people want to kill them, and I said, no, and if you have a black snake around your house, they'll stay there for years, and I think it's good luck.
What, Slimy?
Is it true that a black snake will eat other snakes?
Yes.
I heard about that.
Well, any of the king snakes, and it's a type of black king snake, they can eat other snakes, and they also will eat poisonous snakes. So
how does that work?
Yeah.
How do
they just don't have a toxicity is not, you know, it's kind of escapes them. But I don't know if I ever told you the story when I was the first week at the Fort Worth Zoo. I was their new veterinarian, and they knew I liked snakes, and they had a king cobra. They came.
Oh, no thanks.
Wow.
So they come running over our backyards of my building, the veterinary building, and their reptile building were right there. So they come to get me. They go, their king cobra is dying. It's like 18 foot long.
Let it die.
Wow.
Oh, hold on, 18 feet?
That's a
beautiful.
Yeah, oh, my goodness. Yeah, let that thing die.
They'll stand up about two-thirds of that height,
mm-hmm.
and the rest of the frame on. They're really beautiful snakes. So anyway, this thing's...
So hold on. A big cobra can rear up and stand... As tall as I am, or taller?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. The king cobra has no fear of anything. It'll attack anything.
Yeah. And they're big and robust.
They are.
But anyway, so... Oh, anyway.
That's two, man.
Yeah, sorry, man.
Three, you're off the show.
So I'm trying to treat this thing, and they're holding this, and the snake's head was bigger than my whole hand, and it's writhing around trying to die, and I was able actually to put a catheter, an IV catheter, intravenous catheter, into the vein in the roof of its mouth.
Oh!
Then I put a tube into its throat, and I'm breathing for it, and my face is like 6 inches away, and they're holding the snake, and it passed away, and then I found out that they actually are sensitive to their own venom, as are rattlesnakes. So what happens in the wild is they'll strike something that goes running down the path, and it's dying slowly, and then they follow the smell of the blood. But in captivity, they'll throw in 10, 15 mice at one time, and the snake is just writhing, chasing around trying to get it. As he's striking at the mouse, he struck at himself.
Oh.
So it was an interesting story.
Well, he bit himself and killed himself.
Yeah, he bit himself several times and killed himself.
Wow. That is a good story.
Amazing snake.
You want some calls?
Sure.
All right, 314-821. Folks, there's a line open. You don't jump in here. Can't help you. 314-81.
And Dr. Doug's working on a Jewish holiday.
Don't tell anybody.
Oh, you know what?
Oh!
What is this, Rosh Hashanah or something?
It's Yom Kippur.
Happy Yom Kippur. That's what you say, I guess. Happy Yom Kippur. I don't know much
about it. Yeah, it's the Day of Judgment.
Ah, well, we're judging you to be a good veterinarian. So there you go. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Vicki has been more patient than I would have been. Vicki, thank you for waiting, and say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hello, Dr. Doug. Hello, I am in the PM.
Hello, Vicki.
Hi.
How are you today?
Good.
Good, good.
Happy.
Well, I'm the lady that called a while back with the dog that was humping the rabbit,
and then
his brother was humping him. You remember those guys?
I remember. Yeah. So what happened?
Nothing.
Okay.
They were happy.
How can I help you today?
Well, they have decided, both the dogs, that it's okay to eat leaves that are, you know, laying on the deck or in the driveway. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay that they eat leaves?
Well, it's not going to, unless the leaves are oak can cause problems with the kidneys. But any other, and some other trees, like cherry trees, can be a little toxic. But typically, they're not going to eat enough to make them really ill. More often than not, if they eat too much, they'll vomit first, and then they're clearing themselves. But yeah, my dogs will get out and they'll eat the craziest stuff, sit there and eat sticks and grass. They look like rhinoceri. So
is that the plural of rhinoceros? Rhinoceri?
Yeah, it is.
I didn't know that.
And they even eat the hibiscus, you know, when they bloom one day and then they fall off the next. They eat those, and it's like very odd dogs.
That's not a problem if you put gravy on those hibiscus. Hibiscus and gravy.
Gotcha.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
Oh. That was pretty good.
Come on. That was pretty good.
Yeah. That was good.
Thank you.
That was good.
Thank you, Vicki.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Vicki.
Thanks for the call. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening. Bruce is next. Bruce, that line's open, folks. That just opened up a line. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Bruce, say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug, and hi, Frank.
Hello,
I'm
Bruce.
I'm AM and PM.
Thank you.
How are you, Bruce?
I'm fine. I got a question. I've got three dogs, small, medium, and large, and we live out in the country off of city water, so we have a well. And we've had to put new wells in through the years, and the last one we put in, we had to go down deeper so we got enough water, and we got a lot of iron in it. And if we don't put, I put that salt in the water softener that's supposed to reduce a lot of the iron, but that's got a lot of chemicals in it. And if I forget to put it in or something, then the water starts looking orange, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if that water out of that well is going to be bad for the dogs to drink that. I've started feeding them or giving them water, bottled water like we drink, you know, from the store. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I mean, my dad's aunt had a farm in Staunton, Illinois when I was a kid, and we cranked the pump out there and got the water out. We drank it. It tasted awful, you know,
from
the iron in there. So I don't know if the iron would hurt them, or if the chemicals and the salt that we use or the iron out type stuff we put in there would hurt them more.
Yeah, you'd think, well, that stuff kind of chelates out the, or it kind of traps those particular minerals and stuff. So that's why they're not hurtful to us. But the iron storage disease is actually a problem in certain breeds of dogs. If yours are just general good old mutts and stuff, unless, you know, it's just you start seeing symptoms like diarrhea or any kind of vomiting, then I wouldn't worry too much. I would also wonder if there's any, with the orange discoloration, I'm wondering if there's any kind of rusting in your lines that's causing that. So you might have someone come out there from the well company and just make sure that it's not just superficial rust, it's just sloughing off mm-hmm. into the water. And a lot of those, I was going to say, a lot of those elements. Okay. Oh, we're dancing.
we'll let Bruce talk. Go ahead, Bruce.
Go ahead, Bruce.
Well, I know, you know, if we let the salt run out and don't notice it, then the bathtub starts to get kind of orange deposits, you know, that you got to take like an iron out spray or something, scrub it out. So
don't bathe.
It gets in the water.
Just don't bathe.
No problem.
I really think it has something to do with the iron collection and the rust in your lines. And I don't know how old your building is and stuff, but I would definitely talk to an engineer or somebody like that and see if there's some way you can kind of flush those lines and get some of that deposit going.
It's all PVC pipe, including the pipe that goes down 35 or 40 feet in the ground. It's all PVC, so I guess.
Yeah, it might not be it at all. I'd still probably talk to an engineer and just see what they suggest you can do, or the well people in particular would certainly know. I'd have to do a little homework. I have not seen, except in, like I said, certain breeds of dogs, I have not seen anything that I would concern myself about, but, you know, we should all do some homework on that.
That's one of those things that we all know that name, but does anybody know what PVC stands for? I don't.
Polyvinyl chloride.
Okay, maybe. Wow. Okay, that, you know what? Okay.
I'm practically an engineer.
Yeah, you are. Right.
Ask me again, I'll tell you the same.
Hey, is this Bruce last name starts with a K?
Yes, sir, it is.
And you know what's funny? I know who you are, and I used to do some work with this guy a million years ago, and isn't it interesting how some people's voices just don't change? I mean, honestly, goodness, after all these years, I knew who this was. Bruce, nice to hear from you, and thank you for the call.
Likewise.
All right.
Funny that you say that. I had a new client come in, and they heard me talking on the phone. They said, "Well, that's Dr. Doug from the radio show."
Oh, we've made you. We have made you a big deal.
I'm a nobody without you guys.
Well, you were.
I agree.
The first time you called me, I said, "Who?" Never heard of you. Line is open because Bruce graciously gave up a line. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Katie, welcome to 590 The Fan, and say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hello, guys.
Katie.
And Fang and Dr. Doug.
Hello,
hey,
Katie.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm still kind of shaking from the snake story.
Why? Well, the cobra story was pretty scary, but that's not a snake we have to deal with in this part of the world, unless you're in a zoo or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm AM and the PM. And
oh, thank you.
Taking my call, I have a five-year-old lab, a chocolate lab, who started having seizures really at night, and I've had her checked out by the vet, and she's been referred to this doggy neurologist, which is really expensive to do all of the testing just to rule things out.
Have you tried that salad, that seizure salad? Thank you.
Well,
Katie laughed. I heard her. She laughed. She tried not to.
Salad for her.
But she laughed. I heard her.
So how often are the seizures?
Yeah. Pardon me?
How often do you see them? Are they frequent?
That's the thing, is I'm wondering now, because I've only seen them at night, but I work all day. So I have been saying, you know, she only has seizures at night. And I have no idea what happens during the day. However,
and there's always a however in life.
Love you guys. Lately, she has been, I've noticed, she goes and she stands in between, for instance, the couch and the side table, or two pieces of furniture facing into, like, a corner. Mm-hmm. And it's like she's just standing there gazing at nothing. And it's kind of hard to get her attention. And I'm wondering, is she having, like, a little seizure when she does that?
Yeah, seizures can come in all forms. We always think of the big grand mal seizures where the animal or the human really goes into some sort of convulsion. But you can just have an animal just staring, and that could be some form of seizure. Now, 5 years old is kind of young for seizures caused by brain tumors, but that's still a consideration. That's probably why they want you to talk to the neurologist. He's excellent, by the way, Dr. Wininger. More often than not, especially in younger dogs, we call them idiopathic seizures. In other words, we don't know what the source is, but it's somewhere in the brain there's an irritation or an irritable area. And typically your vet would say, well, let's check your liver, blood values, and the kidney and make sure it's not something obvious that's metabolic. And then if you're having frequent seizures, sounds like you are, more than a couple in a month, then we usually would start, if the blood work looks good, we'd start you on some kind of anti-seizure medicine. There's lots of them available. And if that doesn't control it, then you probably do need to talk to the neurologist, because they have other tests, the CT scan, MRI, all the same things we do in humans to try and determine the presence of things like a tumor. Like I said, it would be a little bit young, and I'd rather prefer that it's just an idiopathic seizure disorder. So talk to your vet about trying some medication and seeing if that'll help you. Okay?
Thanks. I appreciate it. They had mentioned that, and I was kind of like, oh, maybe it's just a real rare thing, but it keeps happening more and more. So,
Katie, if you have money, and you'll have to have money because it's expensive, there is a clinic, and that's all they do is seizures. It's in Vegas. It's Seizures Palace. It's a really fancy vet. Thank you. She laughed again.
She did.
You're on the top of your game today.
Oh, I'm on it today.
He's on fire.
Limey, were you trying to say something?
Well, no, I didn't know if you had mentioned epilepsy at all. Has your dog been tested for that?
Epilepsy is idiopathic seizure.
Well, I'll shut up then.
Idiot.
Another name. Kind of
idiot. Idiot. Right. Katie, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it.
Okay, I appreciate you.
Okay, I appreciate you too. Katie, before you get away, how old are you?
I am 52.
Favorite age. I said that before. Absolute favorite. Hey, do you get 52 How Do You Do magazine? Do you subscribe to that?
No.
I have a copy in front of me. This is the latest edition. It's called 52 How Do You Do. There's a great article in here. I don't know if you know this. A woman's sexual peak is at 52. Did you know that?
Amen. I just turned 52, so we'll see how the year unfolds.
Well, get ready for a wild year. Congratulations on that. Thank you, Katie.
Bye, Katie.
All right, bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Could you hear it in her voice? That thing I tell you about when women have a thing for me?
Oh, yeah, I could hear it.
I could hear it 100 miles away.
Oh, yeah. All I heard in her voice was doubt.
What?
Yeah. I thought it was
noisy. Hey, a line open when Katie dropped, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Mark is next. Mark, say hello. Welcome to 590, the fan, first of all. And say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hello, Dr. Doug.
Hello, Mark.
How you doing?
Are you making fun of the way a listener talks?
No, that's the way I talk.
My voice isn't that loose. I've got a question for you, Doctor.
Go ahead.
We've got a stray cat here.
Okay.
And he's finally getting used to people. We've been trying to take care of him, feed him. You know, he'd come and lay on the picnic table, and we'd feed him, take food to him. He finally got good enough to where he let us get close to him. But his eyes are running all the time. His ears are black inside.
Ew.
Put it to sleep.
No.
So this I've is a stray about... cat. He's probably harboring some ear mites, number one. Those can be cleaned
out
and treated.
Ear mite medicine.
Yeah, okay, and you want to clean them first.
Clean his ears.
Okay.
Right.
So if it's the right medicine, it should be a one-time treatment. So you want to check and make sure your veterinarian is supporting whatever you're using. I wouldn't just go to the pet shop and get something for that. And then you said, what was the other first problem you were mentioning?
Eyes wrong.
His eyes.
Oh, so I mean, again, like cats really are really notorious for harboring all kinds of respiratory viruses. And when we do rescue right. those animals, we have that same problem with them. And a little bit of stress is going to make them kind of do just what you're describing. They can have nasal discharge, they can sneeze, they can have eye discharge, and that's one big consideration. So if you're able to get that critter trapped, it'd probably be wise to go ahead and take him into the clinic, because you don't want him out spreading anything. He doesn't have to be spreading to anybody else.
Right.
And then the other...
Feline HIV?
FIV. FIV is feline hemorrhagic virus. It's like HIV in humans, and that and feline leukemia, those things can also cause chronic infections, make the infection persist because the animal's immune system is deficient. They can't fight them off. But the respiratory things like a herpes virus, those things can come and go in cats, and they never really disappear from the body. They just kind of hide until the next stress event. So if he's going to be around your household, I think I would do that.
Hey, Mark, you got like a Sam Elliott thing going with that voice. I like that voice.
I don't know how many people have told me that.
Roy Orbison.
You need to get a job like reading Western audio books or something. I'm not kidding.
I ain't kidding you. I go places and I get the Sam Elliott, and they say I look like Sam.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, man. I'd make restaurant reservations under the name Sam Elliott. You'll get in.
Yeah, if I only had his money, I'd be set.
Yeah, if all of us did. No, that's a good. I like that voice. Don't ever get in the radio. We got enough trouble. We don't need you for competition.
Okay.
All right, Mark. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Bye, Mark.
Thank you for taking it.
How about that guy? Yeah. Just that laid back, kind of relaxed.
Nice guy.
Well, you don't know. He might not be
Doug
a nice guy.
He just seemed quite well spoken.
Oh, you're saying Dr. Doug, nice guy, way to go making fun of him.
Yeah, I know. Just makes fun of a guy.
That was cold. That was kind of cold. Mark, Sam Elliott is gone. A line is open. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Alan is next. Alan, say welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Doc. This is Alan. I'm AM and PM.
Thank you.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Good. About 20 years ago, I was driving my kid to high school, and I got on, and I was so nervous, I said I was Pedum and Adetum. And my son won't let me forget that. But
well, we're not going to let you forget it.
Yeah. So, hey, we went 8 years without a dog, and then I broke down, and we bought got a Airedale puppy, 6 months old. Mm-hmm. And my wife says with the previous dog, I scared it, and it would never go in the water. How do I get this Airedale to not be afraid of swimming in a lake and chasing a ball?
I think you just need to kind of start very shallow, sit in the water with them and let them just sit in your lap and kind of play with them and bring a ball with you, and then just kind of sit there and kind of move yourself a little bit deeper and deeper. As soon as you see that he's playing and he's playful, like if you're on a sandbar or a gravel bar or something like that. And, they're natural swimmers, so...
Aren't all dogs mostly natural swimmers, really?
Yeah, mm-hmm, they really are. Now, you want to make sure you don't get them in a situation. I did this years ago. One of my dogs was a natural swimmer, but we ended up in a creek with a mud bank, and he freaked out because he couldn't get out of that side.
No traction.
So, yeah.
But, yeah, start simple, start small, easy steps, just like a child, and I really think that you'll be okay, and you'll be able to do that.
6 months, I can get him out there?
Sure, yeah. I mean, just keep him within your grip and just kind of slowly work him out. And, if it's deep water nearby, then you want to keep one of those little floaties on him, okay?
On me or the dog?
On both, both of you. You don't have to swim.
Because if something happens to you, there's no more.
Alan, thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
All right, bye-bye.
It's interesting how dogs can swim because their feet aren't like, you know, duck web. They don't exactly have flippers. I mean,
they don't. I think they have a little bit of web. Like, you know, the human hand has that little tiny bit at the bottom. I think the dogs kind of have some webbing.
Yeah, but not enough that they swim. The way they swim, man.
My dogs hate. I have an in-ground pool. I have two dogs, and they will not come in the pool. And a couple of times I picked them up, put them on like a little boogie board, and kind of surfed them around the
pool.
They
like it.
And then kind of, you know, slowly held them into the water and so they get accustomed to it, and they're fidgety, and I just set Willie free in the middle of the pool, and they immediately knew how to swim, and they jumped out of that pool, went up those steps,
cussing at you.
They shook off, and then they ran through the doggy door and went and hid upstairs for about 4 hours. It was like a traumatizing thing to do to them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Thanks.
And there are breeds that have webbing, more distinct webbing, like Portuguese water dogs, things like that.
Well, a dog, if your name is a Portuguese water dog, you better be able to swim. How embarrassing if you can't. Let's get Antonio in here. Antonio, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Thank you. Dr. Doug, how you doing?
Pretty good, Mr. Banderas.
No.
Well, oh, different. Different answer. That one,
ha, 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 ha.
Oh, man. I'm so funny. I just can't believe it.
Oh, man.
What's cooking, right, Antonio?
Well, I have a question. I have a Malamute Husky mix that we rescued. I guess the doctor says he's a Malamute Husky mix.
Big dog.
But, yeah, he's big. He's about a little over a year now, and he's... about 100 pounds, close to 100 pounds.
Man, those are great-looking dogs, though. That's a fantastic-looking dog.
Yeah, he looks like a wolf. People come to the door, and I got a pizza delivery guy, and he's like, "You got a wolf for a pet?" I said, yeah.
Yeah, tell him, yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a good guard.
So,
you don't even have
to.
So what's the question?
Well, the problem is, since he was a little puppy, he's had diarrhea like crazy. He's got a very sensitive stomach. And it was lit, and we found some food, you know, I think one of the Purina foods that was doing okay for a while. Now he's back to diarrhea. We got prescription food from the vet, but it's so expensive.
Hang on, Antonio, hang on, Antonio. Rat Boy says, give him what, Rat Boy?
Cheese.
Give him cheese, Rat Boy said. That'll plug him up.
Right. Yeah. And then I'll have the other problem.
Mm.
So let me ask you something. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You want to finish?
Well, I didn't know if there was. I've looked at a lot of different kinds of foods, even asked at the pet store, and for sensitive stomachs, but they don't seem to make it for puppies too much. Or how old? You know, yeah. Whatever thoughts you have.
Well, one thing is that I would definitely. I'm assuming you went to the vet, but I would repeat sort of intermittent samples for stool sampling because sometimes parasites don't shed any given episode and you might get false negatives. So that's one thing that's easy to do and might be useful. So I would say repeat that a couple times. And in situations where we can't find an obvious answer and they can do more of a workup, I don't know what they've done, but you can try and your vet may want to suggest like just a prophylactic worming. So if there is something underlying, then you can potentially catch it with a broad-spectrum anti-parasite medicine. And then there are some other approaches to trying to understand. There are food trials where you use one food after the other to find one that's less sensitive for the dog. And again, a lot of these prescription diets, although they're more costly, if that's going to save the household and the rugs and everything else, then it's worth it.
Right.
There are other medications that can be used. Finally, in the worst-case scenario, because it's most costly, you could have your vet get some biopsies of the tissues along the GI tract and make sure that it's not some kind of irritable bowel kind of syndrome, almost like a Crohn's or a colitis in humans. So a lot of things that may not have been done yet. And I would just ask your vet and say, look, you know, I do want to do this. I want to work it up enough to understand what is or isn't. And you got a lot of steps to take, and I think you can resolve this. Okay?
Yeah, that's fine. I'll keep on that track. I know we've given them, boiled up chicken and rice and some pumpkin and put it all together, and that usually helps them out and fixes the problem for a while.
Well,
Antonio,
how big will this dog get? Is he as big as he's going to be?
He might get a little bigger. I can tell by his head he's got a little bit more filling in to do.
Yeah, that's I love those dogs. It's a beautiful dog.
Yeah,
he is.
Well, thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, Doc, is a pug, is that a breed? Is that actually?
Yes, yes.
What is that, like a bulldog? What is a pug?
No, they're little, small, short-faced little dogs. They're sweet as can be.
Have you ever seen Men in Black?
Yeah, a long time ago.
That the dog in there that talks to Will Smith that he's shaking, that's a pug.
I just thought of a great product name for to help with diarrhea just for pugs. Plug a pug.
Plug a pug.
See, like stop up the diarrhea. Yeah. Oh, well, we can get one more quick call in here. That's going to be from Paul. Paul, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hello, Dr. Doug.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm also AM into PM.
Wow, this must be the day for guys with great voices to call.
Yeah.
There we go. What do you got, Paul?
Thank you. Mine was more of a comment than a question. At the beginning of the show, Dr. Doug referred to some snakes as poisonous.
Not venomous.
Venomous.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Paul's one of these sticklers. He wants to make sure you get it right. Technically,
well,
you are correct.
I'm talking at a high level for the general public.
Well, and the general public does say poisonous snakes, but he's right. Technically, it's venomous. It's not poison. It's venomous. Right.
But let me clarify something for you guys, too. Garter snakes, for instance, are considered rear fang venomous. A lot of snakes have, if they sit and munch on you for a while, they actually are secreting low levels of toxin that can, in essence, cause irritation, just like a mild venom. So people don't know that, but I've heard many stories about that, and it's kind of interesting.
Paul, are you a reptile guy or some sort of zoologist or something? Herpetologist? The other thing interesting to me, too, is the word... There are two words that are acceptable. One is anti-venom, which is okay, but anti-venin, like, I don't know why that word exists. That's the other name for the same thing. Why is that, Doc? Why do they have the word anti-venin?
You know, I can find out why, but it's anti-venin, like you're saying, is the one that I'm familiar with. And
well, I heard somebody the other day say anti-venom, and I said, no, it's venin, and I went and looked it up, and it's either one.
Yeah, I didn't know that myself. We used to be, the St. Louis Zoo used to be one of the national regionals depositories for holding all the different kinds of anti-venom.
I don't like the word depository. It sounds like suppository. Paul, was there anything else?
No, sir.
Well, thank you for...
The thing is, a good way to decipher between the two, poison and venom, is the venom is injected, like through a fang.
Right.
And then poison is ingested.
Injected as opposed to ingested. Paul, how do you know so much about this?
He's a snake.
I like to read.
He's a snake. Paul the snake. I don't know why that's funny. No, you're absolutely right. Do you have pet snakes or ever had a snake?
No, sir.
Well, you should. You know a lot about them. Paul, thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Bye, Paul. Thanks for your listening. Time. Have a great day, guys.
And that time is up. Dr. Doug, I want to make sure you know, is brought to you every Wednesday by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States and the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues, windowworldstlouis.com. Doc, once again, you've educated so many, and you're so selfless, and great Cobra story, too.
Oh, man, I got more stories.
Well, maybe we'll have to have every week the quick story of the week from Dr. Doug. You'd have to have, because you've traveled around the world working on things.
Lots of crazy stories.
All right. Doc, thanks. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks for having me, everybody.
All right, Dr. Doug Pernikoff, everybody. Thank you. He's at the Clarkson-Wilson Veterinary Clinic, where he's been a long, long time. He's a good guy, and he's a terrific vet. We don't have a dog now, but we've had dogs. And guess who their vet was? It was Dr. Doug. We have a playhouse coming up. We do that every day at 5 o'clock. And Larry Connors comes up after that. He'll be on at 6 o'clock. And we have yet another joke that I will tell you that I have not told since I've been here. We're coming up on, you guys realize we're 2 weeks away from the 1 year mark. In two weeks, we will have hit 1 year at this place. Who would ever have thought? And a joke that we've not done. Try not to repeat jokes for at least a year. And we're going to make it. Because it's not too hard to come up with eight more jokes after tomorrow. So stay right where you are. I wouldn't go anywhere. News with Tim Woodburn first, and then the Playhouse, right here on 590 The Fan. It is 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis. and 590thefan.com, the home of Budweiser.
Good evening, everyone, from the 590 The Fan, KFNS Studios in Kirkwood. I'm Tim Woodburn, partly cloudy skies, 85 degrees outside in downtown St. Louis. We are just minutes away from the third and final hour, the large morning show in the afternoon with Frank O'Pinion. But first, news, weather, and sports headlines coming your way, and two traffic updates in this 5 o'clock hour to get you home as well. Here's what's happening. The Missouri Highway Patrol says a 25-car pileup has occurred on the southbound lanes of I-55.